Good evening, everybody.
Woo!
It is X-Men 97. No, we have not gone back in a time machine after eons and decades away. Disney Plus has done something meaningful. Not Echo. No, no. They have brought back the X-Men. Holy cow. This was...
Are you trying to suggest some nonsense that there's no meaningful original shows on Disney Plus?
I mean, there's a few. It's just, hey, I guess I have not gotten into Percy Jackson or... But I did... I mean, The Mandalorian was quite good. But this is going to be trending for the next 10 weeks. Amazing. This is great. Oh. So, X-Men 97, these first two episodes, literally, just takes the series to a new level of awesomeness. Just amazing. I mean, how they've done the interplay of Magneto, I mean, he's just, God, just a badass. Just, ooh. He was magnetic. And really just to see what's happening with Cyclops and Jean Grey. And at the end, because we just saw it. At the end, as part two, episode two, it appears we're going to be doing some Madeline Pryor in this show.
Which is amazing, because I mean, that is... Madeline Pryor is a very complicated, layered character who... It's so terrible, you know. She got the editorial short shrift. So, you know, we've got, you know, the iconic Phoenix Saga, and because of, you know, Jean Grey, you know, passing tragically, Mr. Sinister needed Jean Grey. So he brought us the clone of Jean Grey, Madeline Pryor. And once Madeline Pryor had the baby, her usefulness has ended, and he ordered the Nasty Boys to kill her. And luckily they failed. But Madeline always had an existential crisis over everybody telling her she looked so much like Jean. Saying, like, is this guy just with me because I remind him of his ex? And then she went psycho when she found out she was in fact a clone and decided to try and destroy all of Earth, or maybe just New York, by making a pact with demons and using a spell that would require her to kill her son to bring Limbo Realm to Earth. And that's a very dark story, and you can't really adapt it too well. I mean, you could, but it requires so many pieces, you know, Sinister, cloning, Jean Grey dying. So it usually doesn't happen. And now we're doing it. We're doing this, and I'm very excited to see where it's going, because I don't believe Madeline has ever been featured in an animated series. And X-Men 97 is dope. It's dope.
It is dope. A friend of the program, Brian Wojciechowski, he sent me a text before I started watching the show, saying this is the best, this is even better than any of the X-Men movies. And I agree. This, the writing, they got Cyclops like a certified G. He came out of that airplane. He didn't need no parachute. I got lasers through my eyes. And it was just quite, like, epic. I mean, he just, to me, my X-Men. And it's funny, all the commercials and, like, advertisement was literally just from this first two episodes. Oh, my God, what's happening for the next 8 episodes? Holy moly. Amazing.
Yes. And they've laid a gajillion plot threads in. We've got, you know, the Roberto Acosta new character edition plot thread. We've got the cameos from the various morph transformations. Like, okay, so you're acknowledging that these people exist. And just when I get back to it, so Cyclops just, like, with no parachute, no jetpack. You know, he's just like India, like whatever. Like, hey, it, Cyclops is awesome. This show made Cyclops awesome. This show made everybody that they apparently are going to be writing out or putting on the B plot lines look awesome for these two episodes, which I can appreciate. You know, if they're going to go out, have them go out with a bang. Of course, my comic book nerd stopped me as Cyclops was fighting the goons in episode one because he was using his powers to move himself around, and he can't do that because, you know, he's immune to his own powers, and so he doesn't get kickback. Otherwise, he would, like, break his own neck from, you know, projecting a concussive force beam from his eyes. But it looked cool. So, like, they can keep doing it, but, you know, that's not how his stuff works. I mean, I believe he should be able to use it to stop his descent from a high altitude, but I think that violates the physics that his rules apply to himself. But, again, it's awesome. It, you know, you got Walkmans, they knocked over a box of rollerblades. Like, this is the 90s, and in the 90s, you got Twister. So, I mean,
there's no Wi-Fi in the 90s, so I hope they have in this show AOL trying to get me some dial-up here, because this is going to be amazing. I mean, just the first hour, because it's two episodes, they did more to kind of showcase a talented roster than the Justice League movie. I mean, they just nailed it. I mean, yes,
leave
I know.
Warner Brothers alone.
Paul. Oh no, this is not like Lee Brittany alone. This is Lee Warner Brothers alone. Zack Snyder, you pushed on Marvel. You tugged on Kevin Feige's cape, and that's what you get. That's what you get. You do not tug on Kevin Feige's, because what he did when you mess with the bull, he gave us Civil War. He gave us Civil War. Imagine with the toys that he could give us, that one day we could get Avengers versus X-Men, which was a mediocre comic, but we still might be able to get it. But what I would absolutely love would be X-Men versus Fantastic Four, because that was a fantastic comic back in the day. Ooh, yes! Yes! Now, for all you YouTubers, for all you anti-woke folks who might listen to this, the X-Men is about a soliloquy about hatred and bigotry. It's been like this since the 1970s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. So unless you've been under a rock, you can kick rocks, because that's what the X-Men's about acceptance and tolerance. Yes.
A bit much there.
This is our podcast, and if I want to go on a soliloquy and give Kevin Feige flowers, yes, we have a fully operational Death Star with the X-Men 97 series. Holy moly! Fantastic. I enjoyed when Morph turned into Blob. That was good. We got Psylocke. Oh my god, when that jet exploded by the Sentinels, he turned into Archangel. Amazing. And you know what I really enjoyed? This show was not about Wolverine. It was about an ensemble cast. Amazing. Woo! Oh, golly gee. Amazing.
Magneto's face looks weird, though.
He does.
I don't know what it is. Magneto's face looks weird to me. Like, it's because everybody else, I look at their face and I say, yeah, that looks like the 97, like a little bit smoother, maybe with some more detail, but it basically looks like the same character. And I look at Magneto's face, I'm like, who is this person? It's like they animeified him. Well, I mean, technically that can be said about all the faces. It just
He looks like Sephiroth. I mean, and kind of he did kind of go Sephiroth in the court scene. Golly, he said, I'm a master of magnetism. This electricity's not going to. Oh, my Lord. This is just amazing. This is just orgasmic. Oh, my Lord. This is fantastic. So, yeah, Cyclops was great. Jean Grey, who I think is not Jean Grey now, is pregnant. And, Cyclops, you're about to be a daddy. So we could have a, we might have to have Jerry Springer kind of figure out who is the real Jean Grey. Oh, man. Impressive, impressive, impressive.
Also, they call Storm an Omega. I don't think they had that concept in the 90s, original 90s run.
No, Omega has, Omega Mutants has been added to the IP. So there you go. Oh my God! So what? So
and Jesus Christ, Storm was scary.
Oh,
she just brought it.
She did. I mean, shoot. I mean, she's Omega. She's look. I can bring in the Frost. I can bring in the Lightning. Do not mess with me. I'm gonna kick your ass. This is amazing. This is absolutely like phenomenal. What now for full set? Hold on, can you play it on Mega Mutant?
Mega Mutant, yeah. So, one thing I found funny was that the Friends of Humanity have basically like Mega Busters, so just, you know, more purplish than royal blue. I think that's the hue of Mega Man, so I just thought that was interesting. They had Mega Busters that. So that was something. And, let's see. Also, Storm did lose her powers in the comics once. That led to a really interesting. Well,
I think Magneto was actually in charge of the X-Men during that time, also.
I wouldn't be inclined to say that was correct, but I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of the lore and timeline. But because Forge was a part of her getting her powers restored, because he designed the gun that turned her powers off. Now Forge did show up in a couple of episodes in the 97 run. he may, but may not. Because, like, this is a 10-episode order, so they kind of have to be tight with things.
They do. Now, Forge, in the previous episode, was in one of the episodes with Phalanx. And he was trying to help. It was him, Phalanx, Quicksilver, Magneto, Sinister. Sinister came, my enemy is my friend. That was what Beast said. And that was in one of the past episodes. So if you are on Disney Plus, take a look at episode with the Phalanx. That's a fantastic episode. And Magneto was, as always, the boss. Magneto, a beard! So yeah, definitely take a look at the X-Men on Disney Plus, the past episodes. But yes, I believe that Magneto was definitely, was more, well, I would say about 50% in charge of the X-Men at that time.
Let's see. Well, so they've got more money. Like, the cartoon in the 90s was, you know, they tried to do things on the cheap because, you know, just the network wasn't offering that much money. Unfortunately, cartoons are not treated the same way as anime. Cartoons are toy commercials, and if the toys don't sell, then the show goes off. That's why we had Transformers. Well, no, Transformers was an anime. That's not a good guy. G.I. Joe was on forever because the toys sold like nobody's business. So it's nice that now that they have money, they can do different things with the animation, more detail, like more action, and also people get hit. Like Cyclops got like punched multiple times. Whereas
I saw blood.
Yeah, you saw blood. And like in the old series, like people would just get hit one time and just be out for the fight. You know, it's just that they didn't have the budget to animate them, you know, getting back up and doing stuff. So like Storm in particular and Jean Grey just seemed super delicate and would just like, oh, like just they would just get one-shotted and then they would just kind of stay down for because their powers are too expensive, whereas animating people who punch and kick is a bit cheaper. So, which is back to my brother's statement, it seems like a team effort as opposed to have Wolverine come in there and do all the stuff.
Yes. What I also enjoyed were the Sentinels. Even though all the Sentinels were obliterated by a windstorm, by Storm, it still was amazing. They looked creepy. Maybe they won't come back at all, and that just shows, hey, these were the old stories, you know. Sentinels are no longer a threat to these super hype X-Men now. So, ooh. But, God, it was just so amazing. Just how they Boulevard Trask, Henry Peter Gyrick. I mean, but, God, they just annihilated him. And I enjoyed Jubilee. Jubilee was, you see her maturity as far as more seasoned now. It's been for 4 years or so, and, you know, it's really good. And then just a sense of family, because obviously, I'm going to just say that was Madeline Pryor who was pregnant, and you got Jean and Cyclops. They were kind of contemplating, should we stay? Because it's probably time we need to have more of a simple, domesticated life. And, you know, it's pretty interesting. And so that was interesting. And then Rogue.
Now, going back to that, you know, so another thing about Madeline Pryor is that she doesn't have mutant powers. So she's a clone of Jean Grey, and either through like alterations of her genetic code by Sinister or possibly some sort of psychosomatic block, she does not have telekinesis and telepathy. So everything that she does involves her using magic to do things. So in the pregnant Jean Grey was using telekinesis and telepathy. So if that is Madeline, it's interesting that she has access to her powers. And another rub is that when in the original story, because Jean Grey genocided the whole alien race, they had to, you know, really go for the fences to fix it. So they established that Jean Grey, that was the Phoenix that went Dark Phoenix, wasn't actually Jean Grey. It was a copy of Jean Grey that the Phoenix Force made when it encountered a near-dying Jean Grey. So it put the real Jean Grey in a healing tube that was at the bottom of the lake where this X-Men space shuttle crashed, and then the Phoenix Force copy forgot that it was a copy and just acted like it was Jean Grey. So that one died, and then the real Jean Grey was recovered by the Avengers, and then it comes back, and we get X-Factor. So there's a whole, like, so for me, there's a few things. One, if that's other Jean Grey that was left at the bottom of the sea, of the lake, from all those episodes ago, who fished her out? Because the X-Men show, for whatever reason, was very low. Actually, no, I shouldn't say very low. There were no guest stars. They were all cameos. Like, you got the Punisher as a robot in the Mojoverse. You got the Hand of Spider-Man. So they would not actually share the animated universe they were shared in their own show. The X-Men showed up in Spider-Man episodes, but no one showed up in X-Men. They were in their own ghetto, their own little limbo, just nobody interacts with the X-Men. So who fished her out of that lake? Or where was her tube? Did she have a tube? I want there to be more than this 10-episode order. I want more of this stuff.
Well, if you're happy to know, it's been renewed for season 2 and 3.
Hot dog! We got it! Yeah!
We're gonna have some fun today. I'm a fan of man because we got some X-Men in the house. We got it. We got it.
You got some city legs.
That's right. This one's for you, Morph. Can I have questions? Like, why is Bishop on the team? Finally. How? Why? Questions. You know what I did enjoy? Yeah, the first episode, it was a traditional, you know, just regular with some, like, upgrades to the intro. And then the second episode, they introduced Magneto with his new outfit, which is dope, by the way. And his hair. I mean, I just love his hair. If I could be an anime character or a cartoon, I would just love Magneto's hair. It's just dope. It's just sober and great. Or Sephiroth's hair. But Magneto, he's just phenomenal. Phenomenal, everybody. Whew. Wow. Maybe we'll get some Quicksilver in this show. Maybe Scarlet Witch. But as I was going to say,
Was Wanda in the original series?
I know she was in there just for a second where they had the reunion show. They had Madripoor, and they did. She was in there briefly, yes.
Okay.
She was in there just one episode.
Just like Lorna was in that one episode with Iceman. All three of his kids showed up. But they never established the parentage, I don't think.
Look, guys, when you make the X-Men in a movie, can you please get Lorna Dane in here? I mean,
nobody cares about Lorna Dane.
Make her great. I love me some Lorna Dane. God, give me some Lorna Dane. What?
Restrain yourself.
Restrain myself. Restrain yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, this one's for you, Morph. So we have Bishop. I'm looking forward to his backstory. Obviously, it had the same interplay between Wolverine and Cyclops. I mean, that has returned. And we have, obviously, in the last episode before X-97, Professor X did not technically die. He went to the Shi'ar Empire, so I'd like to see how they pick up on that. It appears that from the series that Phoenix, from the intro, there could be a Phoenix in episode coming up. So we got a lot of good things to look forward to.
Well, we do.
Sunspot, was in there, and that was interesting. I mean, so they made him younger, so this will be interesting. So you have a different demographic of people to appeal to.
Made him younger? How old do you think?
I thought he was older in the comics.
He was one of the new mutants, so he was introduced when he was a teen. This tracks.
Okay, all right. But God, I'm just really, really excited. Oh, yes, we got to talk about Rogue, Gambit, and Magneto. Obviously, they had a thing.
I wouldn't call it a love triangle. I mean, it's pretty clear that Rogue is in love with Gambit. But the whatever past is there, and I don't think it's a romantic thing for Rogue. I mean, as the brief scene showed, Magneto is, I guess, able to do something that she can touch him.
Oh, so, they got skin-to-skin contact.
Right. So
no protection needed for Magneto.
So I'm going to, you know,
he went in raw.
I'm going to not be in the gutter and say that there was no sexual contact as you're implying. And
See, what if Magneto? This is just a what if. What if Magneto could come up with kind of create like a little Magneto pack and it's like a Magneto, it's like a condom, like a protective Magneto, and it just lasts for like an hour or so you can use it over your body and stuff, and it's like, don't need any condoms anymore. Use this magnetic protection. Magneto's coming soon. Alright, back to what we were doing.
Alright, so yeah, let's go call the Magnum condom company. So you got to rebrand. These are Magnetoms.
That's right.
Magnetoms.
But yes, but Magneto, it appears that they had a connection. Now, if you read Age of Apocalypse, Magneto and Rogue actually were married and had a relation. So, yes. So maybe this Magneto could be, because you notice his age spots and he looked different. He could be a clone, too. Maybe he's Joseph. Maybe he's Magneto from the Age of Apocalypse. We never know. This is going to be very interesting.
Okay. Well, we didn't get the Age of Apocalypse.
We didn't. We got that one.
And
we got that one episode with Trevor Fitzroy, and we thought, oh, my God, this is going to be Age of Apocalypse. But no. But we'll see what's going to happen. But, do you have any other things that you like to share? Because I'm going to give these two episodes a 10 out of 10.
Beast is working on the time travel device doohickey for from Bishop, so we're going to get some time shenanigans.
Yes.
So I'm assuming we're going to see Cable again. Yep. You know, we've got baby Cable. We're going to get adult Cable. Now, honestly, for a second, because, you know, babies are rather androgynous, I was thinking, is that going to be Rachel instead? So it's baby Cable. Because you know, we already got Madeline, so a double unexpected. With Rachel Gray, Rachel Summers, because I don't think she's ever been adapted in animated media either. Because I don't know why. You know, like, people like the Days of Future Past storyline, but I suppose they just don't know what to do with Rachel, because, like, she's got the same powers as her mom, so if Rachel's alive and Jean Grey's alive, then he's like, what do you do with this girl? Because, like, that's what happened in the comics. Like, she showed up when Jean was dead, and then when Jean comes back, and then you got Jean's clone present, it's like, what do we do with this person? And so she's always just been in limbo. Poor girl. Poor Rachel. It's like, and because I don't know how it's possible that you've got Cable's clone, Strife, and then Cable's alternate Earth doppelganger, X-Man, and they can find space for those three characters, but they can't find space for just one Rachel. It's just, and they're getting better as of late. But yeah, poor Rachel.
Just poor Rachel, the step-headed child that doesn't matter. Nobody loves me. He's like Eeyore. She's like, so for folks that don't know Eeyore, Eeyore's from Winnie the Pooh. She's like, so Eeyore. And I imagine that Rachel Summers probably saying somewhere in the multiverse, poor old Rachel. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Oh, poor old Winnie the Pooh. God. My God. And we got 8 more episodes. So, yeah, I think we covered Morph. I love this Morph comedic approach. It's great. We got me some Wolverine. We covered Gambit. I mean, obviously, I'm loving Gambit. Gambit, if I could have the charm of Gambit with his Cajun charm, maybe that's why I like New Orleans. That was great.
I think it's because of the open drinking policy.
Maybe too. I like to have a beverage from time to time. But only on vacations, right? I mean, especially New Orleans is a great place to have a lively time. Yes. Yes. So that's my feel. So definitely watch the X-Men. And I'm just on cloud 9. Can't wait for next week. Any other thoughts that you'd like to share about the X-Men?
Make my Marvel.
Yes. Thank you, Kevin Feige. Unlike Zack Snyder, I will never kind of stare on your cape because you're amazing.
Stop kicking the puppy, Paul. I was like, he's poor. Like, are you
going to... You want to kick on the puppy? Let me tell you what I'm kicking on the puppy. Martha! Martha! Martha!
That was the greatest scene of all.
That was a horrible scene. Horrible scene. I mean, golly.
It's just brilliant.
It was not brilliant. It was just horrible.
But both of their moms is named Martha.
Oh, my Lord. It's just horrible. And I like Ben Affleck as an actor. And I actually thought he did pretty well with Batman. But you didn't need to go there. You didn't need to go there to make a whole movie. Because Kevin, Zack Snyder, I like my stuff dark. I like my stuff dark too, but I didn't need it to be that dark. Horrible. Could have made a Superman movie first, a Batman movie, and you could have just stretched it out. You'd have made a lot more money. You could have made $3 billion instead of a flop. But no.
That's the executives. The studio. Not my money. They wanted a Justice League movie as quickly as possible.
Hey, DC, if you're listening, put me in charge. Beat me up, me and my brother in charge. We'll make you a good movie, cinematic universe, instead of James Gunn. He'll probably do a good job. Yes. So, yes. My government brother, any other things that you've been up to before we... conclude this glorious X-Men review. And by the way, everybody, we're going to be recording every single week that the X-Men come out.
Yeah!
Yes.
Yeah!
Yes! Well, we heard it here. We got a yeah! And by the way, go see Ghostbusters if you'd like to see that. Before I go, speaking of like a brief reboot, any thoughts on the Avatar? Oh, yes. And also Invincible before we go.
Yes. We originally begun watching the live-action Netflix adaptation of Avatar: The Last Airbender. Now, I may be inviting a mob to burn down my home, but I have not actually watched the original episodes of Avatar in quite some time. I mean, I do remember what happened, but it's just been a while. So, it's refreshing to, you know, go through it in the live-action nature. Now, obviously, the tone is a bit more serious, so there's certain gags that have been removed, but and due to time constraints, they, you know, have to trim the fat, as it were, with certain elements. But overall, I'm enjoying the adaptation. I'm liking it a lot. You know, it's a lot of heavy narrative for these kids, and you know, they're bringing it. They're bringing it, and I'm not sure. Did we talk about it before? I think we talked about it before, but I'll keep saying it. This show looks good. You know, like that CGI heavy shows are difficult for TV. You know, like my brother, he watched The Flash, and I mean, outside of the running animations, stuff looked pretty cheap.
It did. I kind of checked out of the, even though The Flash was fantastic, I probably have like 5 seasons to kind of catch up along with the Arrowverse and all that. But the Avatar was quite enjoyable for me. I actually, in another episode, I actually watched Wonka, the new one. It was really good. I'd like to kind of have like a talk more about the parallels of the socioeconomic constructs. And it was just a rather lot of different tones. But if you have a chance, please watch Wonka.
Is it the Dune guy playing it?
It is. So this has been a good time for Timothée Chalamet. So, wow. Yes. Timothée Chalamet. Say that 5 times fast, and you might get Mitchell Plick. But yes. Also, last week we watched Invincible, and that was good too. So if you enjoy animation or just fantasy, this is a time to be alive. So on this note, we will see you next week. Same X-Men channel, same X-Men time. Until then, Excelsior!
Excelsior. We out?